If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms 107. It's just going to be a place to kind of launch from this morning. It's where the message was birthed in my heart. I'm well aware that I preached out of this psalm on Wednesday night, but there's something that just jumped out at me, and I began to look at it in the Word of God, and I think it's what I know it's what the Lord wants us to look at today. The Word of God said in Psalm 107, and verse number 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Is there anybody in the house today that's redeemed? Redeemed. Brother Ralph, I can't wait until the choir's full again. Singing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child, and forever I am." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Beloved, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there was a day when the enemy had you in his clutches. He had you. But there was one stronger than he that loved us, went to Calvary and gave his life for us so that we could be set free. And he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. When I read that right there, I thought about how many people this Christmas season are just wandering. They have no purpose. Yesterday I went to see a farmer. My boy was with me. That farmer's up in his 70s. The last time I saw him, he was battling gout terribly. And yesterday, that farmer, little grandson, he's 10 years old. His name's Dalton. I can remember that because I associated him with Georgia. Dalton, Georgia. And I got ready to go, and I got my billfold, and I found a $5 bill, and I gave it to Dalton. I said, "Son, I'm proud of you for helping your papa." We got in the truck to leave, and my son looked at me and said, "Dad, he'll never forget that." I said, "Son, maybe in 3 or 4 years, we can have a different conversation." How many believes we ought to have a purpose in our life? Be awesome, wouldn't it, if I had the privilege to point that little boy to Jesus. Amen. We need to love people. The Bible said they were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted in them. The Word of God said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses." If you haven't heard Wednesday night's message, I'd encourage you to listen to it. It's something different. You'd appreciate Psalm 107, I believe, in a different way. Then the Word of God said this in verse number 7, "And He led them forth by the right way." How many believes when God's leading, it's always the right way? He'll never lead His youngins in the wrong way. And that's what stuck out in my heart and in my mind when I read it. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Then the Word of God said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." God will help me this morning. I want to preach for a little while on the right way. The right way. Pray with me, please. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, I know it's a different time. I thank You, God, for the vaccine that's coming out. I thank You, God, for the hope that, Lord, perhaps by summer, midsummer, late summer, we could be back to some kind of normalcy. But Lord, I do know that it's in your hands. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be patient, that you would help us to live, our Lord, with peace in our heart and purpose in our life. God, I pray this morning that the things that will be said would honor you. Thank you, Father, for putting this in our heart. Help us to be a blessing to our precious people, to each one that's visiting with us today. God, I pray in the name that's above all others, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. It really surprised me when I have a Bible program on my computer, and it's fairly easy to do a search. Used to, you had to use a Strong's Concordance that's about that thick, and it was a whole lot more involved to find out how many times a phrase or a word was used in the Bible. But it's fairly easy for me now to do that. I've been using that for years. And it was amazing to me that the phrase, the right way, is only found five times in the Word of God. Five times in the Word of God. Four times it's talking about in a positive way, and one time in a negative way. And I'll show you what I mean. I think it's important that we would ask ourselves this question. Am I walking in the right way? Can I tell you something? The right way will end up at the right place. There are a bunch of people in the world that think you can walk in the wrong way and end up at the right place. The right place is heaven. And that's where we're going, amen, when we leave this world, perhaps even before Christmas, the day that we've set aside to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles. We're going to look at five places. We'll be back to Psalm 107. But let me give you briefly what the Lord has put on my heart. Five places. Turn with me, please, first of all, to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. You have Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter, and then 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 15. The Bible said, I'm going to begin reading in verse 14 so you can see it in its context. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And then in verse 15, the Word of God said, which have forsaken, here's the phrase, the right way. They've forsaken the right way. They're gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The Bible said the dumb, you know the word, donkey, speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. This morning, I want to say, first of all, in the message, the right way has to do with the Bible. The Word of God said here they had forsaken the right way. You say, Pastor, how can I know that I'm in the right way? It lines up with the Word of God. Always the Word of God. Jesus said, I'm going away. He said, when I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you into all truth. The Word of God said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I was watching television yesterday. I'm not going to hammer on this. I just came in, sat down. I'd been out all day, about 2 o'clock. And my wife loves the Hallmark Channel. God help anybody that loves the Hallmark Channel. And I came in and I sat down, and I was a little bit sleepy. I ate a little bit of lunch, Brother Rick, and I saw something, a commercial. And I was actually in the process of rewinding it. Miss Eve said, "What you doing?" I said, "Honey, if I'm not mistaken, there's a Hallmark commercial with two men kissing each other." "Amen, Brother Rick. That's about the expression I had on my..." She said, "You're right." I said, "God, help us. We can't even have a Hallmark channel. Somebody help me." You say, "Pastor, why do you preach against such things?" Because I know the right way. God said, "That's wrong. It's an abomination in the sight of God." I made the statement, I believe, on Wednesday night. If somebody doesn't teach, I'll get to that later in the message as well. If somebody doesn't preach, some mom, some dad, some pastor, some Sunday school teacher doesn't show the children the right way, they're going to think this is normal when they grow up. It's not normal. It's sin. It's not normal to be a drunkard. It's sin. It's sin. You say, "Pastor, you're judging." No, no, no. The Bible said wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It's never helped anybody. It's never helped the family. Amen. The drug culture, the sex culture, it's all according to the Word of God, the wrong way. The Word of God said they had forsaken the right way. I believe there's a way, listen to me carefully, in America that slowly is eroding. And that way is the right way. Brother Grizzle, if you're going to do a business contract with somebody now, you have to have a contract about that thick. And 40 lawyers to discern what it says. Used to, two men could shake hands, Brother Rick, and that was done. Amen. Their name meant something. Their handshake meant something. It was a done deal because, listen, even lost people years ago had character about them and believed that men ought to walk in the right way. So many have forsaken the right way. Jesus said this, "I am the way." Pastors that believe the Word of God and preach the Word of God are not going to tell you there's four doors to heaven, or there's three doors to heaven, or there's two doors to heaven. They're going to tell you there's one door. And Jesus said, "I am the door." There's one way. And Jesus said, "I am the way." You say, "Pastor, that's narrow-minded." It's a narrow book. We can only preach with authority what God has put in this Bible. God still calls men to preach the Word, to be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So many today have forsaken the right way. Many have forsaken this old Bible. They want a Bible that agrees with their sin. Beloved, that's not a Bible at all. Amen. God's Word is forever settled in that wonderful place called heaven. I believe this today. I believe that even in cathedrals and churches and mosques and all kinds of religious places today, there are many that believe that they're in the right way. You say, "Pastor, why would you say that?" Because this is what the Bible said. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I think it would be sad to leave this world trusting your religion, trusting some man that founded that religion. You say, "Pastor, will you trust Jesus? He's the man." Oh, but he's different. He's the God-man. He's the one, beloved, listen, that became flesh and gave himself for you and for me. I believe with all of my heart, it has to do with the Bible. You can go out on the road, and even where you come out on 11W from where I live, if you turn too soon, in other words, there's four lanes of traffic, and you must cross two lanes in order to come towards Kingsport. But if you turn too soon, if you were to turn into those first two lanes, you meet two big red signs. one on each side of the road. It says, wrong way. You say, Pastor, why would the state put those signs up there? Because they care enough about you and care enough about me. They don't want us in a head-on collision with somebody else on the road. And yet pastors stand and preachers stand and preach wrong way. And they're criticized. You want to know why they preach the wrong way? Because they know the right way. And there's only one right way. And beloved, it'll end us up in glory if we get in that way. You must be born again. That's what the Bible said. You're not going to stand before Jesus and say, well, Jesus, I was a Baptist. Not going to matter. I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The Baptists have nothing to do with me getting into heaven. It's about a Savior. It's about a birth. It's about a change that took place in my life when I got tired of sin and turned from my sin and turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you please forgive me? And he did exactly that. You ought to have that place in your life. And if you don't have that place in your life, you're not in the right way. Where you turned from sin and turned to the Savior. It has to do with the Bible. Let me hurry along. Secondly, turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel. I'm giving you those five times that in the Word of God, that phrase, the right way, is recorded. 1 Samuel, chapter number 12, and verse number 23. In 1 Samuel, chapter number 12, and verse number 23, the story is going like this. Samuel is God's man. Samuel is God's prophet. And the children of Israel had got tired of living under a theocracy. They said, we want a king. Turn back with me just quickly in chapter number 8. The Bible said in chapter number 8, verse number 5, and they said unto him, they're talking to Samuel, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us, look at this, like all the nations. God's people shouldn't want to be like everybody else. They should want to be like God's people. And the Word of God teaches us, beloved, that Samuel, God told him in verse number 7 of that same chapter, verse number 8, and the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. In other words, Samuel could have taken this very personally. We're tired of your leadership. But God said, don't take it personal, Samuel. They've not rejected you. They've rejected me. On purpose, I'm trying to set the scene here. Here's a man where God's people are not going in the right direction. They're going away from the right way. And yet, when we see this phrase used in the Word of God, it comes out of the mouth, from the lips of Samson. He said, they've not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Go with me now to chapter number 12 and verse number 22. The Bible said, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. How many's glad this morning that it pleased the Lord to let us in? Amen. To make us his people. Watch this now. The Word of God said, moreover, as for me, Samuel's talking about now himself, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. Oh, listen, I wish I could read this verse of Scripture to every bitter pastor that's been rejected by a group of people. Samuel had been rejected. His leadership had been rejected. But he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You can ask my wife. We've experienced some rejection through the years. You say, Pastor, what do? You pray for folk. I'm going to tell you something right now. It is impossible to be bitter with somebody while you're praying for them. Amen. The Bible said here, watch it now. He said, more grass for me. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. I say hallelujah. It has to do with the Bible, number one. But it has to do with the brethren, number two. Somebody needs to take somebody else and teach them the right way. Samuel said, I'm not going to hold it against you. You know who was the king was going to be? Saul. And you know that that was man's choice. Somebody say amen. You know how long it lasted. You know how it turned out. He entered into the priesthood and he was rejected by God. And the word of God said that God sought him out a man after his own heart. And David became the king of Israel. But in the middle of it all, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. In the church like this, most of the time when somebody says the word sin, you're thinking about maybe all kinds of things. Some of them already been mentioned in this sermon. Some of them were already read in the book of 1 Peter. But I want you to know, listen, brother, when we're not praying for one another, we're sinning against the Lord. The brethren, need somebody lifting them up in prayer. Somebody's hurting, amen. Somebody needs somebody else to come along and carry them to the throne of God. And Samuel said, I'm not going to sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Not only that, he said, not only am I going to not fail to pray for you, but I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you the right way. That's precious, beloved. That's precious. It has to do with the Bible. It has to do with the brethren. If you'll look in your Bible in chapter number 6 of the book of Galatians, turn there with me quickly. In Galatians chapter number 6, look what the Word of God says here. I think it's important, and it fits well with what's going on with Samuel. The Word of God said, brethren, in chapter 6, verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou also be tempted. You know what Samuel proved? When he said, I'm not going to sin against the Lord. I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm going to teach you the right way. You know what he proved? That he was God's man. That he was a spiritual man. That he wasn't walking in the flesh, but he was walking in the Spirit. I'm telling you, we need more of that today. The Bible said, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Folks, there's folks in our church going through things right now. And I'm not just talking about one or two. There's many. And if you've not picked up somebody else's burden, there's something wrong. Tomorrow it might be your burden. Tomorrow it might be you standing in the need of prayer. The Word of God comes on down in verse number 9, and it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let me just tell you this, and I'll move on. Samuel kept on keeping on till he breathed his last breath, and you find his name in Hebrews chapter 11. God's not going to let it go in vain. Say amen. We'll serve him if we'll walk in the right way. Turn with me to Ezra, the third thing. It has to do with the Bible. It has to do with the brethren. In the book of Ezra, I want to show you something else here. You have Nehemiah and Ezra kind of together there in the Word of God. Look at Ezra chapter number 8. No, excuse me, yes, chapter number 8 and verse number 21. In Ezra chapter number 8 and verse number 21, let me lay just a little bit of groundwork here. Ezra is a contemporary of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was used of God to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. It had been laid in shambles. And Ezra is going to be used of God to restore the temple. And he's going to be used of God to go back in and have not only a structural rebuilding of the temple, but a spiritual reformation among the people. Now watch what happens in Ezra. Ezra chapter number 8 and verse 21. The Bible said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him," look what he was looking for, "a right way for us." I'm going to ask you a question. How many people in this world are looking for the right way today? Really? How many teenagers are looking for the right way? How many moms? How many dads? How many mamas and papas? How many churches are looking for the right way? Notice what the Word of God said here. To seek of Him a right way for us. And, somebody look at that next phrase. For our little ones. I said it has to do with the Bible. I said it has to do with the brethren. But the right way also has to do with the babies. I can't get over it. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was going through my phone. These steps, this entire stage was filled with children. I said, thank God for the youngins. And the right way, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. This church needs to stay in the right way, not just for the old heads, but for the babies that are coming along. They need to be taught the right way. They need to be instructed in the right way. Ezra is dealing with a people that had turned their backs on God. And Brother Gary, he's fasting, he's praying, he's saying there's so much at stake. Maybe many of those babies, Brother Rose, had never heard the truth of the Word of God. I tell you, I had a Sunday school teacher. His name was Howard Mitchell. About 6'4". A very deep voice. A very firm hand. I mean, he didn't care with a bunch of junior boys to stop in the middle of the class and say, "Boys, I didn't study this for you to sit there and talk." He said, "Now, Pastor, he shouldn't have done that." No, I'm going to tell you what he done. He believed what God had given him was important, and it could mean life or death for some of those boys. You should have seen the look on his face and his precious wife when I traveled back to Maryland years later and he found out that one of those little snotty-nosed boys got saved by the grace of God and was preaching the Word of God. Matter of fact, I preached in his church that morning. Pastor stood up and said, "We're going to take an offering. We're going to sing a song. And Brother Vinoy don't know it yet, but he's going to preach this morning." Well, guess who did know it? The one that woke me up at 4 o'clock that morning and showed me in the Word of God something that I'd never seen before. I said, "Well, Lord, I don't know why you're doing this." Because the Lord knows I probably couldn't have remembered it till next Sunday. But anyway, I preached. My wife will tell you, as far as I know, it's the only time that her mother has ever fallen under Holy Ghost conviction. Oh, I wish she'd get saved. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. It might look like a little class. It might look like they're not paying attention. But God knows what He's doing. And Ezra said, "We're going to fast. We're going to show them the right way." These little ones, as part of the motive for doing the right thing. I like it, don't you? Go back to Psalm 107 with me quickly. In Psalm 107, the right way, it has to do with the Bible. It has to do with the brethren. It has to do with the babies. The right way has to do with something else. It has to do with the battle. If you don't know it yet, you will soon. You're not going to live for God long without facing some battles. These men that will get on the television or the radio or both and tell you that if you'll get saved and you'll serve God, you'll never have any problems, they're lying to you. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Tribulation's coming. Battles are coming. And the Word of God said in Psalm 107, where we read a while ago, they wandered in the wilderness. God wanted them to cross over the Red Sea. God didn't want them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, but they did not believe God. But there came a time to go out of the wilderness and cross the Jordan into the promised land. And there were battles to be fought. If you and I are going to be what God wants us to be, it's not going to be without a battle. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that it's very important when we're facing that battle in our lives to know that our feet are planted in the right way. God wants to lead us in the right way. Many of God's people in the time of battle have become bitter. I promise you this, God is not leading when God's people are becoming bitter. God is not interested in leading us in a way that would make us a bitter person. But God is interested in leading us in a way that will make us a better Christian for the glory of God. Not too many years ago, a lady looked at me and she said, I'm mad at God. And I told this precious lady, I still pray for her. I said it would be a lot easier to deal with if you were mad at me. Don't get mad at God. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. I don't either. But don't get mad at God. Let's get home and give him an opportunity to unfold the big picture. And you know what we're going to do? While the ages roll, we're going to keep on praising him. Because we're going to realize what Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He always does right. I don't always understand, but he always does right. Always. Your pastor has missed it many times, but my Heavenly Father has never missed it. It has to do with the battle. Let me give you this, and I'm finished this morning. Turn back to Genesis chapter 24, please. Genesis chapter 24, the right way. It has to do with the Bible. It has to do with the brethren. I'm just going to say this. God just put it in my heart. We need each other. I said we need each other. What we've been through this year, I would just capitalize the M and capitalize the E and capitalize the S and capitalize the other S too. and then put about 40 exclamation points on the end of it. That's my estimation of what we've been through. A mess. I told Brother Rick a while ago, I think we should have 4 Bible schools this summer. I'm kidding, Brother Rick. I got to tell him that, because if he goes home and tells Miss Danita that, she's going to have a heart attack. It's bad enough just doing the Christmas play twice, wasn't it, brother? I ain't forgot that. Or the look on her face. I thought, man, that's easy. Just do it twice. That's so good. And it went over good too, didn't it? They filled the building up again. This time next year, I hope and pray to God this whole place is full. The awe in the children's eyes sit on their faces. Brother Ralph, trying to hold it together and have some sort of dignity, when I heard you all sing God's First Christmas Tree, I'd never heard it before. I'll never forget it. The cross, that's God's first Christmas tree. By the way, y'all need to sing that between now and Christmas. I don't care when, just between now and Christmas. Somebody say amen. It's been a mess. As far as I'm, you know, I talked to my neighbor yesterday and he still can't taste anything. I've talked about 4 months. Maybe I could lose weight if I couldn't taste Miss E's cooking. I doubt it, though. I'd eat it by faith. You liked that, didn't you, Brandon? I seen you chuckling back there, buddy. Amen. It's been a mess. Heartache after heartache. Trouble after trouble. My dear brother laying in Houston. Don't know for sure whether he'll be home for Christmas or not. But God, one day after a while, will reveal to us exactly what he was doing. It has to do with the Bible. It has to do with the brethren. It has to do with the babies. It has to do with the battle. Genesis chapter number 24 and verse number 48. There's a lot of preaching I could do here, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to give it to you. The Bible said, we believe this servant was Eliezer. Abraham sent him out. How many of you know, remembers what he was sent out to do? To look for a bride for Isaac. Look what the Word of God said here, verse number 48. The Bible said, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham. Why? Because the Bible said he led me in the right way. You know the story. How that Eliezer said, you know, if it's the will of God, so to speak, I'm paraphrasing, just don't let this woman just offer me water, but let her offer the camel's water as well. And here comes Rebecca. Or you could say, here comes the bride. And the Word of God said here, verse 48, I bowed down my head, worshiped the Lord, blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Abraham told his servant, he said, don't go looking among other people. My last point in the message is the right way has to do with a bride. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, you are a part of the bride of Christ. One of the last things that Jesus says to us in the Revelation, he said, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely." Why is it important for your family to stay in the right way? Why is it important for my family to stay in the right way? Why is it important for our church to stay in the right way? I'll tell you why. God is still gathering a bride. For years, I wondered, Lord, where will I be? Would I be in the pulpit? That'd be a good place to be. Would I be that I got to seeing how God could deal in personal work, one-on-one? Would I be at someone's porch, out on the front porch, when they said yes to Jesus and Jesus said, that's it? Would I be at someone's coffee table? And then for years, 10 years, I spent of my life going into the prisons. God, would I be knelt down at some prisoner's door, at his cell, when he said yes to the Lamb of God, and God said, that's it? Honey, Jesus is gathering a bride. And the Word of God said that you and I, if we're walking in the right way, are part of that gathering process. God does not want us to be scatterers. He wants us to be gatherers, to be gathering in these days that we live in. And I think it's so vital, so critical, that God's people walk in the right way. Brother Houston, when you don't even know it, when you're not even aware of it, those babies are watching you. God wants you and I to walk in the right way. It has to do with a bride. Last Sunday afternoon, Brother Larry, God added to his bride. You say, Pastor, what's happened this week? I'll tell you what's happened. That young lady's faced a battle. Just as sure as the Savior comes along, guess what? Old Slewfoot will be right behind him. Say amen. And she called me in a very honest tone. She said, Pastor Rick, would you tell me where I can read? I'm just having trouble understanding. She's a baby in Christ. Pointed her to some scripture, pointed her to the book of John. She made this statement. She said, there's just times when I'm overwhelmed with doubt. Let me go ahead and ask for a show of hands. Anybody here ever been overwhelmed with D-O? Is that right? U-B-T? Did I spell that right? Somebody can sing now. It took a miracle. I don't know why we don't spell words like they sound. That's easy. D-O-U-T. Doubt. I love my wife, and I love the expression that's on her face right now. You know what our problem is? We act like we don't have any problems. We all got them. Never forget years ago, and I'm closing. Brother David Ring, cerebral palsy. Brother Jerry Falwell used to have him on his program often. Brother David, he preached the message entitled, "I'm Not Okay and You're Not Okay." He said, you walk up to somebody and say, "How you doing?" He said, they say, "I'm doing okay. How you doing?" And that was the title of his message, "I'm Not Okay and You're Not Okay." I'll never forget as long as I live. He had on a suit. He looked great. He talked about how we look great on the outside. He pulled his coat off. And he had long sleeves on that were just shredded, like they had been run through a shredder. He said, but on the inside, we're not doing okay sometimes. He pulled his shoe off, Brother Wayne, and he had cut the whole front part of his sock off, and there was all of his toes sticking out. He said, see, on the outside, we're doing okay, but on the inside, he said, I'm not okay, and you're not okay. We're all facing something. But God wants us to know what's important in all of it is that we stay in the right way. Stay in the right way. Say, Pastor, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Read it anyway. If you'll keep reading it, the day will come when you'll feel like reading it again. I don't feel like praying, Pastor. Pray anyway. I'll guarantee you this. There's not a man in this building that didn't get up one morning and didn't feel like going to work, but you went to work anyway. Say amen. There's not a young'un in this building didn't get up and not feel like going to school, but they went to school anyway. A fellow was laying in bed one morning. His wife said, honey, get up. It's time to go to church. He said, I don't think I'm going. She said to him, you've got to go. He said, give me three good reasons why. He said, number one, she said, you're saved. And saved people go to church. He said, number two, said, you love God's people. You love being around God's people. You need to get up. He said, what's the third one? She said, you're the pastor. I promise you this. I don't care who you are. You don't always feel like doing the right thing. There have been times in my life when the right hand of fellowship, Brother Gary, wouldn't have looked like that. It would look like that. But that's the right way. That's the wrong way. Learned, leave it to God. He'll do it right. All I'll do is make a mess. Just leave it to God. I'm just glad you come this morning.